Hello everyone, it's time for Talks About Tech Weekly. This is episode 26, the retake today, and I'll be explaining why. We did episode 26 last week, but we had some problems with the recording, but we have a new setup in the studio and it's working really well so far anyway. So there'll be no problems with recordings from now on.
Yep.
And I'll be talking a bit more about that later on. But we're going to introduce the co-host of the show, Kevin McAndrew. How are you doing today, Kevin?
I'm very well, thank you.
That's good. Right, we're going to go right into the stories today, and we're going to talk a bit about the HTC One X. Now, we talked about it on a previous episode. We called it the HTC Endeavor back then, when it was just a rumor. And, however, it's now out on the market, the HTC One X, along with the One S. And there's a whole new kind of HTC One range. And I've been reading a lot of the reviews on it, and they have been very, very positive reviews. They've said that the quality of the device is very good. It's far superior quality than any other HTC device out there. Some people are saying that it's even better quality than the iPhone 4S. So
okay,
that's something. That's something there. So, right. We're going to kind of talk a bit about the specs of the device and things like that. So the specs on this device are, it's got a quad-core Tegra 3 processor, the European version, that is, has a Tegra 3 processor. It's the quad-core version. And it's got a 4.7-inch display, full 720p display. And it's actually IPS technology, I believe, but the quality, people are saying that the quality is superb. And even looking on videos, you've got very little glare off the screen. It looks very, very realistic, and I'd love to see the screen on this device. I mean, it just looks beautiful, absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
And so 4.7-inch display, as I said, very, very good quality. So they've got the HTC One S and the One V. Now, the One V is kind of like it's kind of like a follow-on to the HTC Legend, which we kind of talked a bit about, I think, in a previous episode as well.
Yeah.
Now, Kevin, you were asking me yesterday how much storage it's going to have, and it has 32 gigabytes of storage.
That's a lot of storage.
It's a lot of storage, and I think for a phone of the of that kind of price, I think it's needed. It's going to be quite it's a quite expensive phone. I don't know the exact price on it, but it is expensive.
Yeah.
Now, interesting things about the design of the phone is that it has a non-removable battery.
Okay.
Now, I don't know why the manufacturer would actually do this kind of thing, where like the iPhone, where you're not allowed to remove the battery and whatever. But that's what they have done there.
Okay.
Well, and I suppose it kind of
reinforces
the structural integrity of the device. Sorry, Kevin.
You probably would be able to take it out if you opened it up from the screen. You'd have to take out the screen.
Yes.
To get the battery. Yeah.
Basically, they want to give you a new phone if the battery goes and it's under warranty.
Yeah.
And they did this thing in on HTC phones like my HTC Desire S, where they had, not the whole back would come out, but just little parts of it. Like, the back cover on this phone is just a small little piece.
Yeah.
And then the battery comes out, slides out, and I thought that would, you know, that would definitely increase the structural integrity of the device.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, having a non-removable battery, you can't even take out the back. I don't really know why they would do that, but there has to be some reason.
Yeah, maybe it's just for design, just to make it so
look
that
nice, I suppose.
Yeah.
Now, the device itself, I must say, looks very, very nice. Now, it takes a micro SIM. Mm-hmm. So they've gone the same way as the iPhone 4S. 8-megapixel camera.
Yeah.
Which is meant to be quite good, 1080p, full HD recording, which is meant to be, you know, quite good, but They're, you know, they've been saying that sometimes it's the saturation levels that kind of oversaturate stuff. But I kind of like that look. Looks kind of HDD or HDR style. What are your opinions on this device? I mean, a quad-core Tegra 3 1.5 gigahertz processor.
Yeah. And has LTE as well.
That's optional. More powerful than the old Mac Mini that I was using.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy. It's got more cores than the computer I'm using right now. Now, obviously, L3 and L2 cache levels will be considerably less, but still, to be able to make a phone that has that kind of processing
like
power.
A quad core.
Yeah, it's a lot. And people have been saying that it just runs so smoothly.
And judging from the picture, that must be very hard to do. Because it looks like a very slim and sleek device, you know?
Yes, it is quite a small or a slim device. 4.7-inch display is quite big as well. And it's kind of interesting how we used to think a few years ago that, you know, with the Galaxy S, that was a... what size screen was that? It was...
I don't know.
I think it was a 4-inch screen.
Yeah.
And then it went to the 4.3-inch screen on the Galaxy S2. Now you have the Galaxy Note, which is 5.3 inches.
Yeah.
It's big.
It's interesting.
You know, and now it's not a bad thing, I suppose. Well, you see, now you're getting...
Depends.
It's not a bad thing because you've still got small phones.
Yeah.
Right? And... Now, they're not as powerful, but you still have small phones, and you have the option of having a big phone or a small phone.
Yeah, it's kind of like the HTC Wildfire S and the HTC Desire S. The Desire S is better specs, but a bigger phone. And then the Wildfire S is not as good specs, but a smaller phone. So,
yeah. So, it's just an interesting phone. We already kind of talked about it.
Yeah.
Mobile World Congress, when we were talking, when we had an episode about that, we were kind of talking about the HTCs and things like that. So, Tegra 3 processor is a monster's processor. And, I mean, just in a year, you've gone from the dual core being a massive thing to quad core being a massive thing. And now people, the attitude that people have is, it's only got a dual core. Or, you know,
yeah, I know.
We were expecting a quad core out of this. And the iPad 3 with its quad, well, the new iPad, we should say.
New iPad.
With its quad core graphics as well. I mean, it's amazing.
Incredible.
I mean, the pace that it's all kind of proceeding at. And, and of course, Android, we might as well talk about the new HTC Sense 4. On Ice Cream Sandwich 4.0.3. So what HTC have done in this case is they've actually... Oh, I'm getting a call in here. Sorry. I'm going to have to decline. Okay. Sorry about that. So the HTC Sense, what HTC have tried to do is simplify it. Because HTC is known for kind of... Their skin is very kind of heavy... very, very heavy skinned and has a lot of extra features that HTC are putting in there. And with the new HTC Sense, they're just trying to simplify it all. And
it looks very nice. I'm having a look at it now and it's...
Yeah. What they did was they took all the kind of things that they didn't like in Ice Cream Sandwich and they put it into the they kind of improved on it in HTC Sense. It looks very, very nice. They've made some improvements to the lock screen, which I really like on my HTC. Overall, they've just streamlined it, and they've made it to run a lot faster. It's going to be fast anyway with the Tegra 3 processor, but they had to streamline it for some of their other devices. And I must say that they did a great job. I've seen a lot of the reviews of the new HTC Sense. It's working very, very well. So,
and there's...
There's
new... for multitasking, there's new interface for that as well.
That's
Instead
right,
of
yes.
coming up with the apps, it shows, like, what's running on the app.
Yeah, you know, so. Now they've taken in Ice Cream Sandwich, they have brought in a new multitasking interface,
mm-hmm.
and they have implemented a similar interface in the new HTC Sense, but it's a bit different.
Yeah.
It looks a bit different, but it's a very efficient way of multitasking, and it looks very nice. So, we might as well move on to talk a bit about headphones. And this is something we talked about on last week's show as well, but we couldn't obviously put it out as a recording. Yeah. So we're going to talk a bit about headphones. Now, headphones are very, very important for anyone who's really doing anything with audio.
Or earphones and
even just for listening to music. I mean, a big issue these days is that a lot of people are getting, they're damaging their hearing by cranking up the volume on their headphones or earphones, and that's because of poor quality and poor noise reduction. So they have to turn up the volume, and that's not very good for your ears. Yeah. So we're going to talk a bit about some affordable headphones and some expensive headphones that are really, what we think are really, really good headphones and that we would recommend. Kevin, you're kind of you're pretty good when it comes to headphones, aren't you?
Yeah.
And what are the first headphones you have to show us today?
The first pair of headphones are the House of Marley's Smile Jamaica in-ear headphones, or in-ear earphones.
Yep.
So it's kind of a mouthful, but basically I have them here.
Yeah, show them up to the camera there.
Okay, give me a minute. There you go.
Give us a rundown.
So you can get them in... One, two, three. You can get them in four different colors. Curry, Fire, Lily, and Rasta. So they're just different colors. So we have them in the curry at the moment.
Yep.
The main bit of them is made out of wood. Actual, real wood. It's not fake or anything like that. Or it's not plastic. It's actual, real wood. And they're 100% recyclable. Let's see, what else is there?
What about the sound quality?
Sound quality is very good. Now, compared to some other earphones, it wouldn't be as good. But for the price, €25, or we got them for a half price. So we got
€12.
€12. It's incredible sound, you know?
Yeah, and the thing that's very important about these headphones is they actually go right into your ear. Mm-hmm. So they isolate, they stop any other outside sound from coming in. So you don't have to turn up the volume to be able to hear it.
Yeah.
Especially if you're on the bus or in the car, you have the engine noise and whatever, and people talking. And you tend to, I do this all the time if I'm using really bad headphones. I turn up the volume.
Yeah.
And it's very, very dangerous and can do some serious damage to your ears.
Definitely. But they're made out of silicone. So when they go in your ear, they actually just kind of slide in. And then that's what really makes the noise isolation, you know, really powerful in that sense. Because they fit in perfectly, you know.
Yeah, you have three different sizes that you can choose from as well. Mm-hmm. And it's really good. I mean, now it's not completely custom, but they have really kind of, they have large, medium and small.
Yeah.
And with a lot of other headphones, you know, they've only got one size to try and fit all, and work out. But with these ones, they have lots of different headphones, little buds that you can choose from.
Different tips,
yeah.
So then on the cable itself, it's a non-tangleable cable. And it's interesting because it's an actual wire itself, but you can't see the wire.
Yeah.
Because they're covered in fabric. So it looks like a piece of string.
String. It looks very, very cool, I must say.
Yeah. So basically, you know, it's very good wire as well, you know, pretty long. So that, you know, you kind of need a good wire for good sound quality.
You do. Yeah.
So, and they're not too long as well. So you wouldn't have like a mile of wire just like coming out, you know.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Now, the next headphones that we're going to show you today are the Beats. Now, the Beats that I'm going to be showing you are the the earbuds. Have you got them there?
You
know what? I have the case. But
just over there.
Should have them in the case, really. So, these headphones are... these are the earphones. They were quite expensive. €180. Now, I got them as a gift, which is very, very nice. These are €180. And I'll actually just give you a rundown of the specs on these things. These are made by Monster. But they're the Dr. Dre. I don't know. He's some rap guy or something.
He's a DJ.
This just tells you how much I know about modern music. He's a DJ. Oh, okay. Thanks, Kevin, for bailing me out there. And he made his own brand of headphones. And they're made by Monster. They have this very nice, supposedly untangleable...
Cable.
And I think it's because of the shape. Now, the quality of these headphones is absolutely superb, and it would have to be for €180. They have the same... They use the same technology as the Bob Marley headphones. They go right into your ear. They have multiple different tips on the earbuds. They have a small and medium, or a small and large.
And not just that, but different shapes as well.
Right, so you've got the roundy ones, and then you've got... it actually comes in a very nice box, as it would have to be for €180.
And the other one just comes in a drawstring bag with Marley on it.
So you can, the camera won't be able to pick it up, but it's got these kind of ones that are kind of, I don't know, how would you explain them?
They're kind of loads, it's like an earbud on top of each other.
And they fit in, so you've got different shapes as well as different sizes.
Yeah.
And, now, sound quality-wise, that's what you're all kind of wondering about. These headphones are very good. They have very, very good bass and very clear bass. Very, very, very good for listening to music. However, if you want to hear what other people will be experiencing, they're not the best headphone to go with.
Mm-hmm.
They are very good for listening to music, but if you're in a studio like me and Kevin, and you want to actually hear exactly what the microphone is giving you,
you'd want to go maybe for not. More
if you're doing podcasting
headphones.
Or radio, you'd want to go for a different type of headphone. These are great for listening to studio recorded and produced music, but if you're the person producing the music, then you want to go for a different headphone. But they are extremely good headphones for the price. They are quite expensive, but they are good for your ears because you don't have to crank up the volume to hear, which is great. They are very comfortable for the majority of people, but if you have a very small ear, they won't be the best because they don't give the variety of earbuds that the variety of earbud sizes, I should say, that the Bob Marley headphones give you. They do give you a lot of different shapes and sizes, but not as many sizes as the Bob Marley headphones.
Yeah.
So... if you have a small ear, they're probably not going to be the earphones for you. €180, you can get them anywhere. There's actually a cheaper version of them, which is only about €89. They just came out there recently. These are the older models, but they're still €180.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't actually tried them out. They're supposed to be pretty good as well. So check them out as well. Kevin... We're probably going to do a joint review of the last headphones we're going to be talking about. Well,
I'll just give an overview first.
Yeah.
The headphones that we're wearing right now, I'll just take them off, are Bose A2 headphones.
Yes.
And these are very good headphones.
Yeah, we talked about them in the past episode, so.
Yeah. So, there are a few main things. These are very good. They're very good sound.
They're over-the-ear headphones.
Yeah, oh, sorry. Yeah, they're over-the-ear headphones. So they go completely around your ear.
What's that coming from? Oh, it's coming from my computer. Apologize. Sorry, Kevin. Go ahead.
Sorry. But they go completely around your ear. And they are very comfortable as well. So what they have for cushioning on the actual... earphone itself, or headphone, should I say, is memory foam. And in the old Bose headphones, they didn't have memory foam. and they weren't as comfortable. But now with the new ones, they're very, very comfortable. Right. So then, yeah, more acoustic. There's not a lot of bass compared to the Beats, for example. So if you're looking at podcasts and different things like that, I'd say the Bose are pretty, you know, they're pretty good headphones.
Yeah.
You know?
And you said the price of €150.
Yeah. Well, yeah. For the Bose A2s, just the ones that we have, it's €150.
Yeah.
And for the Bose A2Is,
which are...
It has a built-in mic on the cable.
That are compatible with... they're compatible with the iPhone and iPod. Mobile phones and things like that. So mm-hmm. they actually, on this cable here, they have a built-in microphone, just like on the mm-hmm. The headset that comes with your iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be used. Now, did you show the removable cable?
There's one more thing.
That's really cool.
And you can actually remove this cable.
From the headphone.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, let's say... You had your headphones plugged in and your phone drops, but then the cable snaps, like here or someplace.
You can just replace it.
Just replace the cable instead of paying another €150.
That's fantastic. Yeah. It's really good.
And that's how you can actually upgrade from the Bose A2s.
To the A2Is. To the A2Is. Just buy the cable.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually happened to the first pair of really proper headphones for you, Kevin.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, the cable kind of broke on them and he had to get a new set of headphones.
Yeah, so, well, basically, I've had two pairs of headphones before these.
Yeah.
And my first ones ever, the cable snapped. The second ones, the cable snapped, you know, so.
Right, you've had an unlucky kind of
time. Yeah.
But are you going to show the last ones that you have there?
The last ones, I do not know who makes them.
Yeah, they're kind of a no brand, but
yeah,
I'll bring them over here and I can show them off. I'll talk a bit about them because right, these I actually bought for only €14. Now, they're not exactly let me change camera here. They're not exactly the best headphones in the world. I'll be honest, okay, but they are. They're very good value for money, I think.
That's true.
Yeah. Now, these are not actually over-the-ear headphones. If you can actually see, if I can actually show you here, on the, sorry for people who are listening.
Yeah.
On the kind of the cup inside where your ear is going to actually go onto the headphone. If you look at the A2s.
The bit inside the cup is much larger.
It's much larger because it actually goes around your ear. On these ones, the way I was showing it. On these ones, it's a very small little thing because the ear actually just goes on this padding here. Mm-hmm. So they're not going to be as comfortable. They've got this cool kind of springy wire.
It's like a telephone wire.
And something that's really cool about these headphones is that you can adjust the volume for each ear.
Yeah.
That's coming into the for each headphone.
And you can switch from stereo and mono. There's a little switch on the side.
You can, yes, which is really cool as well. So they're only like €14. Now there are Sony ones that I used to have. I think they're upstairs now.
Yeah.
And they're really, they're also over the ear. They're only €22. And I recommend that you take a look at the Sony range of headphones as well.
And also,
they're very, very good quality.
And then if you want a little more expensive and a bit better quality, Sennheisers are
Sennheiser
very good.
Do great headphones as
they're
well.
They're about mid-range in between. They do have more expensive headphones, but they do mid-range in between like Sony's and Bose, and
right,
very good,
and they also do quite cheap ones as well, but mm-hmm. they're cheap in a good way. They're actually very good quality still, obviously not as good sound, but still very, very good.
They do
both over the ear on the ear, over the ear, and in the ear earphones as well. Which is great. Okay, we're going to go on now to what are we going to talk about. We're going to talk about music production, which is quite an interesting topic. We were talking about headphones and how important it is. And now we're going to go on to talk about music production. So I'm going to switch over to my Mac now. Okay, so I have to kind of do a bit of adjustment there. Okay, let me get into GarageBand. So this is a Mac. It's a MacBook. And what you can do... Let me explain exactly. With music production, if you're into music production, you'll know that you're going to need an audio mixer. What an audio mixer does is it takes a load of inputs, audio inputs, like microphones or computers, you know, the headphone ports from your computers, if you want to play music or whatever, and it takes in loads of inputs and then it creates an output.
Yeah. So just one single one.
Yes. It takes or
a digital.
Well, we'll talk about that. Yeah. And then it creates an output, okay? And then you can use a recording device to record that output.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how people traditionally recorded songs. Mm-hmm. You know, they took the mixer, they plugged in every instrument, and then they played together.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the problem with that is that it's created on one track, which means that you can't adjust the volume levels for each instrument individually.
Yeah. So if one instrument is too loud, then you're going to have to, you know, redo it or...
Yeah, or what people did was they recorded each instrument separately.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very hard to get the timing right, as we found out in the early days when we were doing our music recording, because we both play instruments. And that was a big issue. We had to record each track separately, like we had to record at a different time.
Yeah.
And so Kevin would play the drums, and then I'd play the guitar first, and then Kevin tried to put the drums in, and would be out of time, and we tried using a metronome, still didn't work, and it was difficult. So we bought a digital mixer. So what a digital mixer allows you to do is it allows you to take each track separately into the recording. And then it allows you to play together, but it records each track separately when you're playing together. So then afterwards, you can adjust the volume for each individual track or whatever. So I have an Elesis Multimix 16 mixer, 16-channel mixer, and it's a FireWire mixer. So the output is through a FireWire cable, and you can plug it into your FireWire computer, like a MacBook. And you can use a program like GarageBand or Audacity to record each individual track on the mixer, which is great. So, right. Now, you can still use the digital mixer as an analog mixer if you wish.
Yeah.
But there's no point, really, because... If you're buying a digital mixer, you're going to use it as a digital mixer. So I'm going to actually show you in GarageBand a song that me and Kevin created. And let's see, can I actually play it? Yeah. So this is a song called Red House that me and Kevin made.
By Jimi Hendrix,
right? So now you can see that the first track, the track on the top, is playing now, and that's my guitar. Right, now, all the other tracks are coming in, and then I have an overdub playing some riffs. And now I can actually adjust. Let's say I wanted to increase the volume on the drums. That's the bass, right? You can hear the bass. You can hear the drums increasing. Can drop. See, I can adjust volumes for each channel. It's fantastic. And I recorded each of these. We recorded this at the same time. And we played it together, and then I did some adjustments afterwards, and that's how it came out. And so I've recorded each thing on separate tracks. All you have to do is create a new track and then go to the input source tab on the bottom and select your whatever channel. Now, I don't have the mixer plugged in right now, so I can't show it to you, unfortunately. Yeah. The mixer's upstairs, and it's a very big mixer.
Yes.
But that's essentially how it works. And it's just, it's so powerful, because back in the 80s and 70s, you had to do it analog, right? So if you wanted to cut a bit out of the song, you had to physically go and cut the tape.
Mm-hmm.
And then insert the new bit that you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was...
It's kind of like the old computers with a piece of paper. And you stuck it in and then... off it went.
Right, right. And then they all of a sudden got better recorders and the mixer came along. And that was grand, but it was all still in analog. Right? Mm-hmm. So it was very hard to edit stuff. And then... And then came along the digital mixer.
Yeah.
And it was just, now it's just so easy to edit your song and make a great piece without having to do so many takes. I mean, we just played that once. We had a practice run and then we just recorded it. And I could adjust different things, you know, that could take ages to get right. If you're actually doing the recording, you know, you'd have to maybe record it loads and loads of times. Right, to get the to get it right. But I could just go in there and edit it in the in GarageBand. Now you can add in loads of different effects like reverb and distortion and loads of things. I mean, GarageBand is just such a powerful tool for your Mac.
Yeah.
And it's just really, really really great tool. Now I'm gonna actually just play the rest of the song.
There's a red house.
You can hear me with my terrible singing.
That's where my baby stays.
Blah, 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 blah.
There's a red house.
And you can hear the quality of that recording. It's just, it's a good quality recording, you know?
Yeah.
That's being recorded, that was recorded in 256 kilobit per second.
Recording
data rate,
yeah.
And
99.5 days.
Now I was messing with the stuff, so it's not going to sound exactly right. But when you're finished with the song, you can click share, and you can share. You can send the song to iTunes. You can send, and you can put it in loads of different. You can put it in an MP3 file or a very high quality AAC. Audio codec, if you wish. Now, GarageBand, I'm actually using now to record the audio for this show. It's fantastic for doing podcasts as well. You know? Yeah,
so you can actually put bass on and, you know, different things like
that. Yeah, you can make it sound really cool. It's quite a nice tool. So, yeah, that's... We're advertising GarageBand for free. No, it was just a lifesaver for me. You know, it's just a fantastic tool. Now there's, that comes on every Mac.
Yeah.
But you can get a free version of this, which is, it doesn't do as much, but it does nearly as much, and that's Audacity. You can get it for a Mac or PC or even Linux, if you wish. And it allows you to record the audio as well. It does exactly the same thing. Mm-hmm. Now, you don't get all the kind of effects and all that nice stuff that GarageBand gives you. But you can do almost the same things as what you would do in GarageBand. It's a fantastic free program. That's a solution if you don't have a Mac or you don't have enough money to buy a professional recording. Well, it is professional, but like if you don't have enough money to buy audio, you know, software. So, listen to our song. That's me playing the guitar, by the way.
I'm playing the drums.
Yeah. Now that's a reverb that I put on afterwards on that guitar. So, and it sounds really good. It sounds... There you go. You don't want to listen to any more of my rubbish singing.
Yeah.
And that's you can make that. That now you can actually create a professional song. And they actually use this, sorry, Kevin, they actually use this software in professional recording studios. So that's what you're going to get, you know. Sorry, Kevin.
You don't actually need to be able, you know, you don't have to be able to play an instrument or anything. Because there are Apple Loops.
Yes.
Which are different, so you know, tracks, you know, that are like, sorry.
It's okay.
that are recorded already, like pre-made tracks, so you can actually put them into your song.
Right, so I'm going to drop a club dance beat in here.
That's going to sound terrible.
It's going to sound class. Okay, here we go. Yeah! So it's great for like a DJ or anyone who's... let's see, I can put some rock and blues in here. Yeah. Some acoustic some acoustic noodling. I like that actually. It's kind of western. So you get the message anyway.
Yeah.
I'm gonna turn this. Oh yeah.
And then there's synths, strings,
yes.
Orchestration, percussion. You know?
I love this. Okay, enough of that. Back to the podcast. it's just such a powerful tool. There's loads and loads and loads and loads and loads of loops that Apple have put in there. And that's the old version of GarageBand. In the new one, there is even more. I have the new one on my Mac Mini that I'm using now. And the new one on my MacBook Pro. Mm-hmm. And it's just a fantastic piece of software. And... once you have your instruments and your mixer, you're ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we might as well move on now. We're going to talk about the new Mac Mini that I told you about at the beginning of the episode. So, let's see, have I got the box, Kevin? Give me the box now.
Have it.
Thank you. And I'm going, I don't need the invoice. Thank you. I think it was on Friday, I got a new Mac Mini, a new well-needed Mac Mini, because to replace my old Mac Mini, which was seriously underpowered and seriously just rubbish. So I got the new Mac Mini, and this Mac Mini is a Core i5, has a Core i5 processor. It's the mid-2011 one, brand new, and I got 8 GB of RAM. To upgrade it to, which is plenty, because it came only with 2 GB of RAM. Sorry, I was eating pancakes at lunchtime. Very nice. I'm very, very happy with this Mac Mini. It's fantastic. Really, really powerful, the Core i5 processor, 8 GB of RAM. I'm using it right now to do this stream and to do all the recording.
Yeah.
It's just a really powerful computer, and I wouldn't be able to do this without it, and this is my solution to all the problems we were having since we upgraded the studio to the state that it's in now. I really wanted to up the quality of video and everything that we were getting, so I bought this Mac Mini and it does the job. Now it was €572 for the that's what I paid for the Mac Mini itself. And then I paid €70 for the 8 GB of RAM, which is a great deal.
And it's it's actually really easy to...
to do
upgrade, because there's a little panel at the bottom. You just screw it off and put in the RAM.
That's right, yeah. Very, very easy thing to do. And so would I recommend to get a Mac Mini? It might be the cheapest Mac out there, but... it is definitely not the worst Mac out there. It's really powerful, really great value for money. If you already have a screen, if you're looking at buying a Mac, an iMac, but you already have a screen, then this machine is definitely a good option to go with. That's why I didn't go with an iMac, and plus I don't have enough money. But it's a great machine, really great. Now, as regards ports in the back, it's got the new, well, not the new, but a FireWire 800 port. So if you have a FireWire 800 device, comes in handy. It's also got a HDMI, a mini HDMI cable, so you can plug it into your TV if you wish. And it comes with a HDMI to DVI connector out of, in the box with it. So, which is really, really handy. You don't have to go buying extra cables.
Yeah.
It's also got a Thunderbolt port, which is the latest Thunderbolt that Apple has. It's really, really high speed port.
Thunderbolt is really quick.
It's very, very quick. It's, I believe it's 10 megabits.
Yeah.
Which is really, really fast. And, you know, there's a lot of external hard drives coming out now for Thunderbolt and whatever. So you can transfer your files, you can back up really, really quickly.
Really quickly.
Now, what I use Thunderbolt for is I have a Thunderbolt to VGA cable.
Mm-hmm.
It also acts as a mini display port. And I have a dual monitor setup working on my Mac Mini.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Four USB ports, which is great because an issue that I was having is the software that I use works best on Mac. And I didn't have enough USB ports for all my cameras, which was a problem, right? So the four USB ports is what I need.
Yeah.
It's also got an SD card slot. Now, for such a reasonably priced computer as this, it's very nice to find an SD card slot. And, of course, you've got your audio in and out. Now, it doesn't have an optical drive. And this is something that a lot of people have been thinking, why did Apple do this? For me, it doesn't matter because I have a Mac. I have a MacBook and I have a MacBook Pro, which both have optical drives, and I can just share off that. Plus, I rarely ever use them. But the majority of people who buy Mac Minis will be using it as a media center in their living room. Mm-hmm. And it's a quite a big loss because they were, you know, for playing DVDs or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, they'd be using the optical drive. So that is a big loss there. But I think it's this fantastic computer. And it's really helped me to make the studio or to make the recording quality even better. Mm-hmm. Okay. Enough about the Mac Mini. Great device, but we have to move on to talk about something that's very, very serious on Macs, actually, which is kind of interesting. It's a botnet Trojan. It's called, it's, that's just being kind of, this week, Dr. Web, which is a Russian antivirus company, reported that there's a Trojan going around. 650,000 Macs so far have been reported that have the virus.
0.01% is how many are infected in Ireland itself.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to explain about the virus. Now, a lot of Mac users, a lot of people buy Macs because they don't get viruses. And I was one of them. You know, I was thinking, Macs don't get viruses. I don't need antivirus or whatever. I was wrong, because this virus is out there. It's a virus that runs over the Java network, or the Java. It's a it got its way into the Macs through Java, and it's a nasty little virus. Not a little virus, by the way. What it does is it uses your computer as a bot and creates a botnet, which is where it takes a load of these computers and can get the person who put this virus on the computers can use the computer to do whatever they want.
It doesn't matter what it is.
So send malicious emails and messages and things like that. It's a deadly, deadly virus. And Apple straight away came out with a Java update so that, which basically stops your computer from getting infected. Now, it prevents the computer from being infected, I should say. But if you're already infected, you have to get rid of the virus. Okay.
Yep.
Now, you can do it manually by going at the terminal and whatever. Just do a Google search for it if you're a person who wants to do that. But for the average user, what I recommend you do is download, go into the Mac App Store on your Mac and type in Dr. Web Lite. It's an antivirus system and it'll do a search on your computer to see if you have the virus.
Yeah.
And it will automatically get rid of it for you. So I recommend you do it that way. It's Dr. Web antivirus system that they've put out, and they've put an update to get rid of that virus for you.
Yeah.
So it is a very serious virus, and you know, if you ever thought that Macs didn't get viruses, well, not anymore. They get viruses now.
And
you have to be careful from now on.
Isn't there one thing that if there's Xcode, and if it sees Xcode on the computer, it deletes itself?
That is right, yes.
But you still need to make sure anyway.
Yeah. If you... let me see, can I get this up here? Yeah. If you have if you have Mac OS X or antivirus, not Mac OS X, if you have Xcode or antivirus on your computer, then you, then you're in with a chance that it won't be on your computer, because what happens if it sees it is it will actually delete the virus itself.
It'll destroy itself.
Yeah, it'll destroy itself, which is kind of cool. But if you had antivirus. But I still recommend that you do a check to make sure you don't have the virus on your computer. And so it's a pretty serious topic. And what are your thoughts on it, Kevin?
Well, I don't know. I don't really have any thoughts on it.
A lot of people are, according to Dr. Webb, a lot of people aren't taking it very seriously. I'm just saying, so what?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
And the attitude towards viruses is not really great.
Yeah.
Especially from the Mac community, because they're not used to dealing with viruses. But it is a very, very serious topic.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very, very serious thing if your computer is being used as a botnet.
Especially.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's deadly. So, anyway, just... if you have a Mac, just download Dr. Web Lite and make sure that your computer does not have the virus.
Mm-hmm.
0.1%, as Kevin said, of the computers that were infected were from Ireland. So what is that like? We did a... it's like 650 Macs
in Ireland.
Which is very little, but better be safe than sorry. So
And then in America, in the United States, it's like 52%.
Yeah, there's a lot of Macs infected in the US. Mm-hmm. So, but Apple, they did a great job in releasing the Java update. I also recommend that you definitely go up to your little Apple logo on the top of your menu bar, on the top left of your menu bar, top left corner, and then go to software update. Check for an update, and if there is the update, update it now, okay? Because it'll prevent the virus from coming onto your computer. All right, we might as well end the show there. Thank you, everyone, on the live stream for tuning in. You can always tune in if you wish on the live stream at 2 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time every Sunday, and if you just go to www.talksabouttech.com and then go to the live stream page on our website, you'll be able to see that. I'm not going to give you the exact link because it's like page ID 1. But you can also follow us on Twitter at talksabouttech, and you can follow me on Google Plus as well. Add me to your circles. I am Michael McAndrew. It's not so hard to find Michael McAndrew on Google Plus. All right, we'll leave it there. So for today, thank you very much for watching or listening to this episode of Talks About Tech Weekly. And I'll hope to see you next time. And we might do a show during the week as well, because we're off on holidays.
Mm-hmm.
A midweek show. We don't want to get rid of midweek tech. By the way, check out midweek tech. I have episode 1 and 2 uploaded currently. And we're going to be doing episode 3 on Wednesday. You should tune into that. I do that show every week with Ty Wagstaff, co-host of the show. So check it out. All right. Thank you guys for watching and listening to this show. Until next time.
Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.